Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, it's the Ed Bondrink.
Hey, good Saturday afternoon. That has snow today. Well, I woke up to snow.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
A little white this morning.
Yes. Yeah,
very interesting. Yeah, I didn't expect it. It's just kind of been an odd Christmas for me because there's been no snow. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been that as cold as I thought it would be this year. So.
Nope. Yeah, I don't know whether to take the mower deck off my tractor and put the snow blade on or not.
You're going to laugh. I broke the mower out yesterday and mowed part of my front yard that had a whole bunch of leaves on it. I'm like, I'm getting those right now.
Yeah.
Mowed them up, put it away.
Last year, I regretted taking the mower deck off. You know, yeah. I don't think I used the blade once.
Right. Well, if you wait, that stuff will be soggy in the spring, so I got it done. Well, anyways, welcome to The Drift, and what we do every Saturday is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should. It's
the news you need to know.
Thank you very much. And let's take care of a little business before we move on to the meat of the show here. Diggett Services, LLC. If you got some excavating, some work around the house that you want, or the farm that you want to get done, skid steer services and mini excavator, Mike Kuzma, 248-789-7619. That's 248-789-7619. Mike's got great equipment. He's a great guy, and he's got the experience to get your jobs done fast and economically at an economical good price.
Yeah, why would you want to shovel all that stuff when you can pay a guy a small amount of money and watch him do it, you know?
Exactly. So give Mike Kuzma a call, 248-789-7619. He's got great brand new equipment, and he can come out and get your jobs done for you. So if you got questions, comments on the Daily Drift or this radio show, email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk about a number of things. We've got a special guest on the phone, L. Todd Wood from Tsarism.com. It's hard for me to say Tsarism.com. And you've probably heard him on the Gruber Show. That's where I've heard Todd a number of times, and he's what I consider one of the foremost experts. And Todd, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, so thanks for coming. My experience with you is I catch you pretty regularly on Gruber's show. And when the Syria pullout came, you know, a week or so ago, I thought to myself, who's the guy that's going to know the ins and the outs of Syria and Russia's take on it and our take on it? And I immediately thought of you. And lo and behold, you actually had an article that I put a link to yesterday on the Daily Drift. So tell us. I mean, some people, you know, the seems like the deep state, the media, the elite are all complaining about Trump.
Are you pro? I'm sorry. Do we call you by L or Todd?
Just call me Todd.
Todd. Okay, Todd. So are you pro or con?
Well, I can see both sides, but I would have to say I'm in the Trump camp. You know, what I look at is why were we there in the first place, and what is a couple thousand troops going to do for us in the long run in Syria? The things that are important to us there are defeating the Islamic State and keeping them from killing Americans around the world and our allies. That has been mostly completed. There is still some remnants of that force out there, and they could metastasize again if left alone. So that's number one. We have to deal with that. So how's the best way to deal with that? Is it American forces on the ground, or is it with you know, some of our allies in the region? So I think Trump has decided the latter. And second of all, you know, 2,000 American forces on the ground in Syria in kind of an advisory role are very vulnerable, and you know, they've been dying there on a regular basis. So I'm with Trump on this one. Why have more American forces die when we're really not serious in there in a big way? And the final thing I would say is that the way we can solve this problem in the Middle East is not by just keeping, you know, a few companies in Syria. The way we can solve it is destabilizing and bringing down the Iranian regime, not with American troops, but with forces inside Iran, which are very willing and able and ready to do that. So I think if you look at the bigger picture, I'm with our commander-in-chief on this decision.
So let me ask you, Todd, is Iran less stable than many of us believe or what the media tells us?
Yes, Iran is, first of all, it's a murderous, corrupt regime which the people loathe. The Revolutionary Guards, which is the brown shirts for the mullahs, basically has ripped off the entire country, has directed even their drinking water away from large parts of the country. People don't even have fresh water. Their currency is collapsing. They are murdering, executing anyone that does not follow the regime's path. So this is not some kind of religious regime that the people support. It's a group of thugs who are using religion to control the people and treating them very badly in the process. So, yes, there is a revolutionary movement within the regime, or within the country, and they are ready to do the job. They would just need our support. I don't advocate sending American forces into Iran at all, but I do think we can support the elements that want to bring down the regime, as Obama did not do in 2009.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about the Green Revolution and what your take on was that. How much success do you think that might have had we actually not supported the thugs instead of the rebellion?
Well, it's not even that we just didn't support the rebellion. As you said, we actually helped rebellion or helped the regime put down the rebellion.
Well, that's what I meant, help the thugs, yeah.
Yeah, so you have a group within the country called Mujahideen Iqaq, or the People's Mujahideen of Iran, and they are a group that wants to promote liberal Islam, tolerant Islam, democracy. The group is run by a woman. It's a very big affront to the mullahs regime, and really, I can't say it enough. For instance, they've executed over 120,000 of these people in the last decade or so.
Wow.
So
mm-hmm.
It's they don't like the regime, put it that way. And most everyone in Iran has a family member who's been killed by the regime. So, and I'm talking, I'll give you an example. There was a big rally a couple decades ago, and it scared the regime, so they arrested anyone who was there, including a bunch of 12-year-old girls, executed them, and then put their pictures in the paper and said, if you know any of these girls, come get the bodies. So
wow.
That's how the families found out about it. So, this is the kind of people we're dealing with. And yes, they can fall if the economy's crumbling, their support is crumbling, and they're only in place due to repression.
Yeah. Crazy. And that's because of our sanctions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Obama did not send them enough money to help them out of the sanctions.
Well, he tried.
Yeah.
He very much tried. But, I don't get the left love of this regime. I really don't. I mean, if you're a feminist, my God,
Yeah, I was thinking to myself as I was driving in, why is it that the left, the elitist, globalist elite, and the media are basically putting themselves up for cultural suicide by protecting and helping and sponsoring Islamic terrorism Islamism? I don't get it.
I'll speak for a portion of our audience that believes, like myself, that this is a spiritual battle. I don't expect either you two guys to agree with me. But there is a force in this world that's just satanic, and it drives the left, it drives the hardline Muslim culture, and basically it actually allies these two forces. That's the only explanation for these two forces aligned, right?
Well, I tell you what, I'm just mystified. I can never figure it out that Western Europe, the Western world, is so what they claim is tolerance, I guess, for the most intolerant religion on the planet. Am I wrong, Todd?
Well, I think that there's truth in everything you guys are saying. I think there is a force that wants to bring down Western civilization because they see it as a threat to really elites controlling, the population. If you look at communism, all it was a method of controlling the masses. This is what China's doing. They have a million of their own citizens in concentration camps as we speak right now. They are putting additional family members in certain homes to make sure that people aren't against the regime and to report back if they see anything. So this is the same kind of control of totalitarianism or whatever you want to call it. And I think there are forces that want to bring down the West, which has championed freedom, and they've aligned with Islam or extremist Islam to do that.
Yeah. So what is it you think then, Todd? Maybe that kind of ties into people like Lindsey Graham. Lately, I've been kind of like changing my tune on.
You're bipolar.
But then he turns around and kind of headbutts the president on why are we pulling out. This is a major mistake to be pulling out of Syria. And there's a big contingent, and the Dems, of course, anything they can do to yell at Trump for something or other. Mm-hmm. What is it in Washington, D.C., that they keep pushing for more troops there?
Do we have any economic interest that holds us there?
Well, you know, the interest that a lot of them bring up is Kurdistan, but, you know, to help the Kurds that have helped us fight ISIS. Okay, well, my point is, you know, many people in the world have fought for their own freedom, the Israelis, the Americans. You know, yes, we had help, they had help, but let's give them arms and let them fight for their freedom if we want to, but why should American boys and girls and men and women be dying for Kurdistan? It's just not in our interest, especially since we're energy independent and we don't have the need for Middle Eastern oil anymore. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Kurdistan helped us.
You know, I don't know if I answered your question, but Washington is just there's always a push for more war that leads to money, that leads to influence, that leads to, you know, there's a lot of vested interests that are against what our president's doing.
Yeah, which Ed kind of brought up last week. Ed, you wanted to talk a little bit about Smedley Butler. Todd, you're familiar with Smedley Butler, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so Smedley Butler was a Marine Corps general.
Right? Yeah, he was almost commandant of the Marines and in the 30s. And he was the guy, two Congressional Medals of Honor, a few Distinguished Navy Service Crosses, I think, and lots of medals. And he retired from the military, and he'd been in the Banana Wars. He'd been in China. And when he got out, he gave a speech, says, war is a racket. And he said he's tired of fighting to work for the interests of American bankers, really, at that time, the DuPonts and economic interests, and then seeing young men get killed over that. And his thing was that he did not want to. He was for defense. He wasn't a pacifist, even though he's raised a Quaker. He wanted to see our defense start at our shores. He even proposed legislation that our ships would not be worried about 200 miles out and our airplanes not more than 500 miles out. I don't necessarily agree with everything Smedley Butler said, but it was very popular. And there's more to it because he was involved with some other stuff that to help thwart a plot against FDR, a takeover of the FDR government.
Yeah, interesting reading anyway, if you go to it. But so it begs for me, Todd, I like your take because I read your article, Why Were We in Syria Again to Begin With? You know, it's not our backyard. It's the Saudis' backyard. It's the Israelis' backyard. It's Western Europe's backyard.
But we were in there because of ISIS.
Exactly.
We went for ISIS. Okay. Now, what economic interest would keep us there?
Let me ask you this, Todd. I'm a bit of a conspiracy guy. I love me a good conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I've heard talk of a pipeline that should be going through Syria somewhere. I don't ask me the details because the article I read was quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. Is there something going on with oil transportation in that neck of the woods? And are the Russians, the Syrians, the Turks, the Saudis all fighting for control or something in that area?
Yes, and we have no fight dog in that fight. I mean, you know, Russia especially is in the Middle East for economic reasons. I mean, it wasn't well highly reported, but several months back, you know, we killed about 300 or 400 Russians who were supposed mercenaries.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
You know, most of them, some maybe from other parts of the former Soviet Union.
Conscripted
mercenaries. They were trying to take over an oil field. There's a guy named Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is, his nickname is Putin's chef, and he does a lot of just special things for Putin. He runs a catering service in Moscow, strangely enough, for the military, but he also runs the Wagner Group, which is a big mercenary force that's been all over in Ukraine and Syria. And they were the ones who got waxed by American air power one night because they just decided they wanted this airfield or oil field, and there was a bunch of American stuff there. So, yes, they are there big time for economic reasons. which, you know, we don't need to be there for economic reasons. And, you know, meanwhile, Trump is saying our borders are being overrun. Our military should be here protecting the country, necessarily in Syria. So.
Yeah, that and again, it's just a hypocrisy that the left, the Dems, the media, the global elite, and some Republicans, obviously, are perfectly fine with sending billions of dollars to the Middle East. I'm sure we've spent billions of dollars in Syria already. I don't know what that figure is,
but yeah.
I'm sure it is. And yet we can't get a lousy $5 billion to help put up a fence or barrier or a wall of some sort on our southern border.
Well, because it's this bigger notion of destroying Western civilization. I firmly believe that's what it is, and we're a big part of that, and we are the ones who are not doing it, and they're not happy. So they've basically got Western Europe destroyed, or at least their culture and their security. I don't know if you saw the videos of those two Swedish girls getting beheaded.
Mm-hmm. I actually was going to watch it, and before it started, I turned it. I said I'm not going to watch because
it's horrible. It's not even the description because it's not worth the war porn to watch that. I mean, it's horrible.
But, yeah, I was so incensed when I heard that story. I'm like, what's it going to take for Western Europe to wake up to this? I mean, the Poles and the Hungarians have obviously woken up to it. But what about Germany and
France?
Too
many politicians in power would have to say they were wrong. That's what
there's too many vested interests against it. And, I have to run in about 5 minutes, but I just want to say we're starting an media company to try to really take back a lot of real estate from the mainstream legacy media. It's called Creative Destruction Media, and we're going to be putting out a lot of information across, in addition to Czarism, and we're going to be part of that.
Okay.
But we're trying to make an effort to, in our way, to provide information to the public that they're just not getting. So
right. We'll do our share to help with that, Todd. I'll put more of your articles and stuff, links to more of your articles on my page so that people can get over to czarism.com. And if you would send me whatever info you need, and feel free to call into the show regularly.
We'd
love to have. Are you in Europe right now, or are you home?
I travel a great deal, so you caught me at a good time. I'm actually on my way to Eastern Europe. Late tonight. I'm in New York right now. So
okay.
I'm always, if I have time, I'm always, don't feel free to hit me up on Gab. I think that's how you contacted me.
Yep, Gab.
Which is great, by the way. I mean, Gab is growing like crazy, and it needs to, so people can support that and get off some of these other channels, or at least open another one with them. And
yeah, I tell everyone, if you're on Twitter, get your Gab account, and you can actually Gab, and it'll show up on your Twitter account.
Really? Which, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can mark that little box on Gab, and anytime you quote or respond to a post, it'll flop over and show right up on Twitter. I'm sure, I don't know why Twitter allows it, but they haven't stopped it yet.
It's probably automated. Hey, Todd, so what's your take on, do we owe the Kurds anything for them helping us against ISIS?
Well, the Kurds are in Iran. The Iranians just attacked them there. They're in Turkey. They're in Syria. They're in Iraq. I mean, they want their own country. But, I don't mind helping them, but I don't think American boys or men and women should be dying for the Kurds. I'm sorry. I mean, they can do their own dying, and we've done enough. You know, 10,000 Americans and a few trillion dollars in the Middle East, enough is enough. You know, what have we got for it?
Yeah. Well, I did see an article just the other day that as the media was bashing Trump for the pullout, he had just given orders to give 150 trucks worth of weapons and equipment to the Kurds within days after he tweeted out that we were pulling out. So it's not like we're completely walking away from them.
No, I mean, again, if we're serious about setting up a Kurdistan, then send the 50,000 troops over there and do it. Otherwise, 2,000 special forces are not going to get the job done.
Right.
You know, it's just not. And, I don't know. I mean, I'm tired of Americans being killed over there for no reason.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, great, Todd. So, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your viewpoints. And thanks for all the work that you guys do at czarism.com.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Have a safe flight. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. So, that's L. Todd Wood from czarism.com, and that's TSARIZM.com. Don't go SM.com. You'll end up at some weird site. ZM.com. Great articles. He's got, I wish we had more time. He's got a great thing about China plans to take over the world, which kind of hits you if you're really paying attention. China is the threat, not Russia.
Yep.
But.
Oh, so you're colluding now, huh?
Exactly, right? Yeah. I'm on the list, gang. Well, somebody's going to investigate me.
Yeah, Clinton Incorporated has made China what it is today, you know, giving them nuclear secrets, allowing, look at Feinstein and her spy chauffeur, right?
You know, and the media just whitewashed that.
Yeah.
We hear nothing. That came and went as like a match in the night. Nobody paid any attention. This is a U.S. senator with a Chinese spy as her limo driver for 20 years. And that's not a story? That's not worth covering ABC, MSNBC? Hello?
No, we got to go after Michael Cohen.
Even Fox hardly covered it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Light the match and let it burn. This woman deserves some investigations.
Yeah.
Why are we putting more investigations on Trump for 2 years they've come up blank? Nothing other than some tax crap with Cohen and some tax crap on Manafort.
Oh, but the Steele dossier, man. Look at everything was in the Steele dossier.
If John McCain were alive, I'd want him investigated and thrown in jail.
Yeah.
You nasty old... Yeah, I'm just now. You're starting to get me angry.
Sorry. No, I'm not. It's fun to watch. You guys ought to watch this. You ought to see this on camera. It's hilarious.
Derek, how many minutes we got? 3 minutes. Not enough time to do this thing, which would
dovetail. Time for somebody to call.
Well, if somebody does want to call in, 734-822-1600, feel free to call in or wait till after the break because it's running real tight. But is there another – here, let me do this. There's something else I know that you wanted to do. If you're looking for car parts for your car, maybe your second car or your winter car, Regal Automotive, you can go to their – call them at 734-663-0976. That's 734-663-0976. The only difference between a good used part and a new part is?
The price.
Yeah. See how easy that was? Yeah, they're located on 6270 Whitmore Lake Road. So easy to get to right off of, just take North Territorial to Old 23 and they're right there. So,
you know, there might be something that you can change on your car itself that's cosmetic. Yeah. And you go there and you get something that's the same color, like a gas cap door, a hood or something
You know
that.
The biggie? Taillights.
Yeah, there you
Headlights,
go.
Headlights, taillights.
Yep.
Buy them used, folks.
Yeah.
Don't buy them brand new. Yeah. What, are you crazy?
Well, for one thing, the new one's going to stand out against the old one on the other side. Anyhow,
that's right.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So make sure if you want to call into the show, 734-822-1600. Love to have you call in. And I didn't ask. How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was nice, thank you. And yours?
Very nice.
We played an interesting game at my niece's house, and it was fun. We put it on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it or not, but somebody wraps up some nice prize. Like in this case, it was a $20 bill. Wrapped it up real tight in Saran wrap, and then kept wrapping the Saran wrap until you got a big ball, and you put in toys and gigaws, candy and stuff in there. You keep wrapping it tight and tight and tight. And then so you get everybody around the table, and they pass this around the table, and you pass it when somebody throws doubles on dice. So you start clawing at this thing, trying to get through the Saran wrap, and then somebody throws a double, and you got to pass it to them. And then the dice goes around. The next person's trying to throw a double, and it goes to them. And everybody's trying to peel, you know, trying to get Saran wrap off is, right?
Right,
when it's been pulled tight, you can't find the end.
You get to keep if something comes out before you move on.
Yeah, you get the candy, or you get the end. It was a $20 bill. It's pretty
nice.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's a good game. Yeah,
I like that one. That's a winner.
Something you guys can do Christmas, or rather New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
that'd be good. What are you doing New Year's Eve? It's Happy New Year almost for us, anyways.
I'm going to bed early. I don't need that anymore.
I don't know if I've made midnight. I think, am I old? I haven't done midnight in the last year. I think I was on.
I'm
last
not
year,
driving
year
to Times Square. I guarantee you.
Oh no. I'm number one, it's amateur night. People are out drinking and doing whatever. Watch your driving, folks. Take an Uber, please. I'm going to put a plug in for Uber, Lyft, whoever, your local taxi companies. Do not drive New Year's Eve, please. Have a
designated driver.
Yes, drop yourself off, but do not drive on New Year's Eve. It's really not worth it.
I don't even want to be on the roads. I remember one night we went to a comedy club on New Year's Eve. And I just thought, man, I don't even want to be out here. There's other people drinking out here.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, folks, we'll catch you on the other side of the break. This is The Drift. See you.
always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. House Democrats are ready to take control next week despite a continuing partial government shutdown.
Once the new year comes into place, Democrats will take control of the House. And once Nancy Pelosi is a leader of the Democrats in the House, as she's expected to be, that will open a whole new door for negotiating. Possibility that a deal could be made at some point, but at this point, both sides digging their heels in. This shutdown not expected to end anytime soon.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. Planning on ringing in the new year in New York City? Better check the forecast first.
There's one place I would not want to be on New Year's Eve, and that's Times Square. This is what it's going to look like. 46 degrees and rain. And rain, you don't want to stand out. Even though you think 46, certainly not as bad as when it's down like in the single digits. But if you have rain on you and you're standing out there, it's going to get really cold.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. This is Fox News.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Pictures Plus and the Westgate Shopping Center on West Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor will frame it upright. They offer huge discounts on all types of picture framing, dry mounting, and matting. And they do acid-free preservation framing and shadow boxing. Pictures Plus for any framing you need for the home or the office. Call them today, 734-741-1900. That's Pictures Plus and the Westgate Shopping Center on West Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor, 734-741-1900. Or visit them online, picturesplusonline.com.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Howdy.
And me, Gary Wellings.
Yes.
Yeah, good to be here.
The indomitable Gary Wellings.
Well, I like that. But yeah. Don't know that it's true. Indomitable.
Who's dominated you lately? You're indomitable.
I'm not even going to open that can of worms. Okay. When clean air matters in your home, with the furnace running as it does right now when it's getting really cold again, Dalton Environmental. Get your air ducts cleaned. 1-877-DALTONS. That's D-A-L-T-O-N-S. 1-877-DALTONS. Or you can go to daltonenvironmentalcleaning.com. Get those air ducts cleaned. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I just
breathe clean air.
Budget it for this next month. Hopefully I can get them in, and I'm going to have my ducts cleaned because I know with all the dust in my house that my ducts and furnace are just probably jammed up.
And they can do inspections too.
Which is what I guess I need, right? Mm-hmm. I want to get that done. So 1-877-DALTONS, there's a $25 off antimicrobial treatment in the Current newspaper. If you're not going to the Current, you should. courantonline.com. And you can just download that particular page if you need to. print it, and there's your coupon. So it's right there. Or tell them you heard it on the Drift Radio Show. Okay, let's take a call before we move on from Tom in Detroit, who wants to talk about Syria. Tom, sorry for keeping you waiting, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. There's a couple of things I wanted to add. It's actually on local news now, but this is something I had heard about 4 or 5 years ago, about Sunburn missiles, cruise missiles that are the hypersonic cruise missiles that basically they make aircraft carriers obsolete. I've seen it basically on the TV news, the major channels, broadcast channels, that Russia now is bragging about their hypersonic missiles that are, they say there's no defense against them. They travel at Mach 5. They travel close to, across water. They can, I think it's something like they can travel like 15 feet above the water, and they can actually follow the waves. And the other thing about the whole strategic situation in the Mideast, if I just look at my map of the region, I see that Saudi Arabia is pretty much blocked from getting easy access to the Atlantic Ocean by Israel and Syria. And then also they're blocked into the Indian Ocean to a certain extent by Yemen. So I think a lot of this is about Saudi Arabia having, easy access to ship their oil.
Right. Well, I tell you what, as I said before, Conspiracy Gary likes to put his little hat on. There's a guy on Twitter that I follow, and I would highly recommend, just because he's off Twitter now. You have to go to Gab to get him. It's Thomas Wichtor, mm-hmm. Wictor. You can actually find him
on YouTube.
YouTube and Google and everything else. You can find him. And he is one of these guys that believes the Saudis are like the super secretive, long-term planning guys in the Middle East. And he says that there's a ton of influence, covert ops by Saudi Arabia in Syria. And I wanted to ask Todd, I'm like, had he heard of this or did he know? We didn't get a chance to, maybe next time. But according to Thomas Wichtor, the Saudis are pushing all this. And is there the Russia and Turkey on one side and the Saudis on the other? What's the dynamics of that area going on? And I think part of what you're talking about, Saudi Arabia looking for access east and west, is part of that and playing into that. So either way,
the Saudis would even talk to Israel. And
which they're doing now.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And ally with them to some point.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got to do their own, because they're an Islamic country, they have to watch dealing with the Jews in Israel, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think they've both realized that, you know what, crazy Iranians.
Yes.
And the expansionist Russians who are looking to get a big chunk of power play in the East Mediterranean, they've got to ally. Why wouldn't they?
The enemy of my enemy.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So that's the way it goes. And it's good to hear from Todd that Iran is not as stable as everyone wants to make them out to be, the big powerhouse. I firmly hope and pray that the people of Iran will rebel at some point.
Well, the question is, can they sustain a rebellion? That's the problem. I mean, it's like, it would be like trying to overthrow the Nazis in Germany, yeah, as unstable, as unpopular as they were towards the end.
Well, they overthrew the Shah, right? That's mm-hmm. how the mullahs came in, but they did that by getting the will of the people behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has the will of the people been so beaten down and submissioned by the mullahs that they can no longer stand up? I don't know. It's just heartbreaking to me that Iran used to be like the place in the Middle East to go visit. We always talk about Lebanon and Beirut being the Paris of the Middle East.
Yep.
Iran used to be a place when the Shah was there. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he was a good guy. I'm sure he wasn't. But Westerners could go to Iran, and you could vacation there and do all kinds of things. And you can't do that anymore because this animal barbarism of Shiite Islamic extremism, mm-hmm. right? It's just crazy. And I see on Facebook, YouTube, whatever, you see the young Iranian ladies dancing in the streets. Well, that's against the law, right?
Yeah.
So that's their little protest.
So 70s.
Yeah, and then they also a lot of them are trying to ditch the hijabs, and these morality police are accosting them in public. You'll see those videos on YouTube and Facebook all the time, too. So what else you got? Anything else, Tom?
Well, I just wanted to say I think it makes sense to me to have the strong defense here at home rather than being all over the world, making commitments all over the world. In martial arts, when, you know, I was always taught if you're ever going to throw a punch or a kick, you're committed then. And that your opponent basically has an advantage on you because once you're committed, it can be anticipated what you're going to do.
Yeah. Or you'll be off balance from delivering it, right?
Well, yeah. I know a lot of the kickers and punchers were getting taken down pretty easy by the grapplers, which were basically the wrestlers, and it was always that in a one-on-one fight, it was always the guy who knew how to wrestle to the ground who would win over the kickers and punchers.
Yeah,
they'd get hit a couple of times, but we basically our main strength is our nuclear weapons, but they're really no good for anything except destroying massive life and property.
Yeah, once you commit to that, it's over for everybody. Right?
Bye-bye, Riyadh.
Yeah, goodbye, everybody. All right, well, great call. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Bye. All right, let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, I would argue that aircraft carriers are obsolete. They might be obsolete in one theater or another, but worldwide, there's still many countries that fear them. We're talking about aircraft carriers here.
Yeah, well, you can launch your hypersonic missiles from aircraft carriers and submarines, I guess, right?
So, well, they're multi-purpose. I've always wondered what would be, battleships were it, right? Until aircraft carriers came along to project our strength. Then an aircraft carrier could trump a battleship, and did. And so what's next? Well, you have this big phalanx. Pardon me?
Space station.
Yeah. You're right. Space Force.
What is that weapon system that allegedly we already have? It's in orbit and it launches just like steel rods.
Yeah.
Steel rods that come down. What is it? The hammer? I can't remember.
I forget the name of it.
That's from a movie.
I'm seeing articles all the time that this is already there.
Kinetic weapons. It's been known for a while. You could just drop rocks. Yeah. You don't have to put the rocks up in space, spend that energy. You just need to take them from somewhere else, capture them, and drop them.
Yeah, these are not. I've heard the military has that technology where it's like a titanium rod. And when you drop it from space, it's just sheer kinetics when it hits.
I know what you're talking about. And that's why we'd never survive a battle, an intergalactic battle, because all they have to do is grab a couple asteroids from the belt and wing them at us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But also, the thing with Syria and Saudi Arabia, we just sent them or are going to send them a whole lot of weapons so they can fight all the wars over there. And the same people who are complaining about pulling out of Syria are complaining about the death of one shadowy guy in the embassy over there who was a operative of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Khashoggi.
So my point is they can't have it both ways. Either you want us out of there or you don't. And the way to get out of there is to supply Saudi Arabia with all the weapons they can handle and pull out, let them handle it. Then our boys won't have to die for Saudi or
Israel,
land,
for that matter.
For land. Because oil's out, like the other guy was saying. We're self-sufficient now. It's not oil. And I also perceive in the next, decade or two, that we'll be supplying the underground of France, the underground of Belgium, the underground of Germany with weapons, and then we will mass in Poland, and we will sweep across Europe, and we will retake Europe from Islam, because there will be no other way to do it.
Wow, that's a dark future, but I think you're right. I mean, Islam thinks long term, right? Those people think hundreds and hundreds of years in the future, so they're outbreeding Westerners. They're slowly infiltrating. They're slowly bringing in the Sharia law. I think UK's already got Sharia courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who's the next Charles Martel?
And good question. And I wonder who's going to talk as much about those two Swedish girls I just heard about as they talked about Khashoggi. I mean, this is a major problem in Europe. that the women cannot walk freely in the streets of their own towns, and it gets no press.
Right. Yeah, that's that cultural suicide of the West. I don't know why we're turning a blind eye to Islamic extreme. Not even Islamic extreme. It's just Islam in general. They abuse women. Well, walk behind me, put your hijab on, no driving, no voting, whatever. You're my wife. I'll beat you if I want. I'll have two wives if I want. That's Islam.
Well, Brexit is a reaction to this. You know, it really is to the immigration that the British have been seeing through the EU. Brexit is, I believe, more of a reaction to the immigration wave through the EU than anything else, although that doesn't get played up as much because nobody wants to look xenophobic.
Right.
Because
it's too politically incorrect.
Exactly.
The hell with political correctness, folks. Your culture, your lives are on the line here. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what drives me crazy. The people, they love diversity so much. They love diversity. Do you know what happens if you allow Islam to expand? There won't be any diversity because you'll all be Islamists. Yeah.
I don't know why anybody thinks diversity is so good. It's good to have another opinion. But you don't want 20 million different opinions. You want some kind of unity and assimilation. You know, it's this whole polyglot.
It's the melting pot. But yeah. You know what? A melting pot happens when you add cultures slowly. Mm-hmm. And you take the best of the culture. And that part of the culture that's good melts in with everything else. And then, like tacos. Mm-hmm. I love tacos. Tacos are huge in this country. Why? They've assimilated in. We have Latin Americans who brought good food, man. There's nothing better than Mexican. If I had to pick one, I think I'm taking Mexican food. That's my favorite food, right? But, you know, little things like just small sentences here or there, but there are things that come from each of these cultures that are good, and we assimilate them, and we love them.
And you get a chance to throw out what's bad. It's not all thrown in the mix all at once, like hey, everything's good, all's good. You know, no, it isn't.
Yeah, it's that melting pot.
No, not at all, because where Islam goes, Sharia follows, and joy and liberty die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, take a look at the Middle East. Other than the ultimate super rich Arab states, the Middle East is a crap hole. It didn't used to be. Lebanon didn't used to be a crap hole. When there was a mix of Islam and Christianity and whatever else there, Lebanon was a great country.
Where the Christians were driven out, yeah.
Egypt used to be a great place, right? I'm not going to Egypt. You can keep the pyramids. I'm not going there. You know, Algeria, Morocco used to be great places to visit. Not going there now.
Yeah, now people disappear in the mountains. Hikers get killed, beheaded, mm-hmm. acid attacks all over the place.
There's some Nordic country. There's some Nordic country I read about that said they're putting all the Muslims on an island.
I
wasn't the Onion. I don't know. I didn't follow it too closely. That can't be right.
Yeah,
right. It's right. I heard it too. I mean, it's the ones they don't want, not all, the ones that they can't send back. So they're just going to stick them on this weird island.
Put them in an airplane and parachute them over Syria, man. Open airspace right now. Just tell the Russians, hey, we're dropping some paratroopers, but they're not paratroopers. They're just people we don't want. You know, shove them out the back of the plane. Send them back home. I don't understand why you would keep those people. I really don't. Same with here. What, 60% of our population in jail is immigrants, illegal immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's,
oh, yeah, I agree
that's what
with
we
that.
Need to be
send
talking about is here.
But you were
here.
Talking about the hijab, and they're having a national hijab day, and they don't understand that this hijab represents the suppression of women.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, but they're doing the fashion runway walk with the hijabs. You know, Western version of the hijab. It'll be okay.
Yeah, all I can say to American women and Western European women, if you accept the hijab, you know what comes next? Domination.
Mm-hmm.
So much for your feminism, because you're going to be dominated by these men.
I wonder what a Islamic true believer would do to a transgender man wearing a hijab.
Well, you'd have to figure out that's what's under there first. So, you know, maybe there's a level of protection.
He'd separate the hijab from the rest of the body. I can assure you of that. That's what would happen.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to what Eltad Wood was saying about Iran, though. There are moderate Muslims. Okay, mm-hmm. They're not all out to kill us. Now, I've heard studies that say if they're a small percentage of the population, you're okay. But as soon as it gets over to the larger percentage, then they don't dare argue with the guy who's fomenting for Sharia. They just won't go against that. And they're small groups. They will. And they're you know, so fine. You want to have some Muslims here? I know some fine Muslims. Just fine. I don't know how they'd behave in another country, except they left there to come here, and they like the life they have here. So I don't think they'd be so receptive to having the crap follow them here, as people like to say.
Until 50%.
Until they don't have a choice.
We've seen the videos of Christians who go into Dearborn to protest or to show off. Mm-hmm. I don't quite agree that you're going into a hotbed place
You can call yourself whatever you want. If you want to call yourself a Muslim, that's fine. Or you call yourself a Christian, that's fine. But most Christians don't follow the Christian faith, and I suspect that most Muslims don't follow
exactly.
the Muslim faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my famous story is the guy that taught me Scotch, a Muslim guy from Jordan.
There you go. Right?
Yeah. I was at a bar, and he said, that's not how you should order Scotch, Gary. You should... Long story anyways. I said, hey, aren't you an Arab, a Muslim? He goes, yeah. I said, you're not supposed to be drinking. He goes, when I'm in America, I'm an American. And he was drinking Scotch. That's the guy that taught me how to drink.
And you got Muslims who only go to mosque on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard the story of planes that fly in and out of Saudi Arabia? As soon as they get out of their airspace, they all take off their clothes and start drinking.
Yes. Know? Yep.
Really?
Yes, that's true. Yep.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, great call, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You take it easy.
Have a happy new year. Yeah. Turned him off there. Let's take a call from Walter on line one. Walter, welcome to the show.
Well, you guys are so timely on what you're talking about. Just talking to a local friend from Ypsilanti about the very subject about the marrying of 6-year-olds from what we know Muhammad didn't have no problem with that.
Yeah. But he waited till she was 9 to consummate, you know.
Exactly. That is filthy. But anyway, you ask the average ex-Muslim that converted to Christianity, is there such thing as moderate Islam? And you will get the real answer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they had us outnumbered. They'd be all forcing all us Americans to the guillotines. Okay. But anyway.
Well, you know what, Walter? You're going to get a chance to see this, I think, in Western Europe within the next 20 years, if we live that long. I don't know that I've got that long left, but I think unless there's a major change and the Western Europeans in Western Europe get their act together, I think you're going to see Islamist-ruled Western Europe.
You know what it's going to take in Europe? It's going to take a strong hand in violation of what we consider civil liberties. You're going to have to say, okay, you are a Muslim or you're of this origin, or you don't get some of these rights. You don't get the vote. You don't get this and that. You want to stay in your little enclave? Stay in your little enclave. By the way, no more people coming, you know, based on your say-so. I mean, it's going to come down to that if they want to survive. What else are you going to do to preserve Europe?
I don't have very positive picture of what Europe is going to be in the next 10 to 20 years. I really don't. I feel bad for them, but it's their fault.
Also, ask the average moderate Muslim who likes America, what do they think about Israel? Are they occupiers? Ask them, what do they think about Sharia law? Should we have Sharia law in America? I'm talking about the nice Muslims, the backslidden Muslims, you know, the backslidden Christians, lukewarm Christians. The lukewarm Muslim, ask them what they think about Israel. Should they be driven in the sea? I've talked to moderate Muslims. They don't care nothing about Israel.
I don't poke that bear. I don't ask that question.
That's what I judge it by, if you so-called Muslim, American-loving Muslim.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be happy with the answer I'd get from most of them, right? Neither, and you know that.
Remember, Barack Obama and all the Democrats refuse to say the word radical Islamic terrorism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly right.
They will not say it. I've challenged them on that 19 black communist station all the time. They would not utter the words out of their mouth. They're covering up for that radical Islamic terrorism. I'm out of here.
All right. Have a happy new year, Walter.
See you, Walter.
You guys, too.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. So there was a ton of things I wanted to get to, but we didn't get to it. We got time, though. Derek, let's double down to the second track down there. I want to talk about this. Would have dovetailed in well, I think, at the beginning. Folks, in 2018, we elected a House of Representatives who are Democrat. And you really want to know what's going to happen in 2019, probably through to 2020?
Impeach 45.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I hear it a lot.
Go ahead and play that track if you got it.
Democrats actively staffing up, looking to hire a whole new batch of attorneys as they prepare for what may be the largest congressional investigation of a sitting president in modern history. How do we know? Look no further than the job postings found by our Capitol Hill unit. Seriously, one committee looking for attorneys with experience in, and I'll list them for you, criminal law, immigration law, constitutional law, intellectual property law, commercial and administrative law, including antitrust and bankruptcy, or oversight work. Everything except divorce attorneys, apparently. Phil Mattingly is out front on Capitol Hill for us tonight. Phil, we did also learn late today that Nancy Pelosi's hired a new general counsel. What does all this staffing say about what Democrats are preparing to do?
Yeah, the scope will be broad. The staffing will be many, and the targets will be plentiful. I think that's kind of the reality right now. When you talk to Democrats, look, they've been meeting for months trying to map out targets, frankly, trying to map out committee jurisdiction, trying to make sure one another don't step on one another's toes. But with the majority, not only comes power, most notably subpoena power, it also comes more money. And they will be almost doubling their staff on the investigation side, we're told, over the course of the next couple of days. They can start hiring on January 3rd. And what we're being told from sources right now is there are actually people willing to take major pay cuts to come in and take part in these investigations. Now, what exactly are they looking into? Again, there are a lot of people that have a lot of ideas, but right now they've mostly narrowed them down to a couple of things. You have people looking into potential financial crimes. You've had people that have been applying for jobs related to money laundering, perhaps to look into the president's business issues. You have people that are trying to do investigations into cabinet officials. You obviously have the Intelligence Committee that's looking more into the Russia investigation as well. So there's no shortage of issues here, but I think the broader point is that Democrats know that they need to have the staff, they need to have the personnel to actually do the investigations, and not just in a circus-like atmosphere, but try and make them count. Because
Mullen lobby, baby, bring it. You're just going to embarrass yourself in front of the American people. 2020 MAGA.
Yeah, they are going to do nothing but try to find dirt on Trump and his associates and cabinet
this
members.
This is a coup. This is a coup attempt exactly at a valid right. election. It's all it's been. It started with Mueller. It started before Mueller. And this is just the progression of that coup attempt.
Yeah. And what people need to remember, they're not doing this to Donald Trump. They're doing it to you and you and me and everyone else that voted. You are going, even the people who voted for Hillary in the last election. This is your rights. The decision was made. It could have been Hillary. But, you know, the difference between Democrats and Republicans, 8 years of Obama doing all kinds of stuff that he should have been investigated for, you didn't see the Republicans going after it like this. And when the Republicans took power, you didn't see them going after this investigation. If we did what Democrats do to us, we would have investigated the first 2 years of the Trump administration, Obama, Hillary, John Kerry.
That would have looked too political. Yeah. That would have looked like the political vengeance, right? Well, what in heck is this?
Yeah, you're going to see political vengeance on a scale you've never seen before starting in January.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
and
folks.
We'll see you in January.
Yeah. All right, folks, have a great Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week.